He's better looking than I am. So if you know or not know, Pastor Brian is in Florida with his wife and his family, as his father-in-law is on hospice. They're watching, they're sitting with him, praying for him, and he asked that we do the same. He is a mighty man of God, and he is fully aware that his church loves him. He's fully aware that you're praying for him. And he and Sandy are both ultimately grateful that you have their back in prayer. For the past several weeks, Pastor's been going through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Today was to be the last day in that sermon, being the day of Pentecost. He had me arrange to give a testimony, which will all happen next week. Okay? But in the interim, we were talking about it. We're talking about what to do today, and I realized, I don't know if anyone listens to what happens on every other Thursday, but God laid on my heart for Thursday to talk about how great a love he has for us, each and every one of us. From the beginning of the world, forever, he loved us. And I was thinking about this, and God laid on my heart and said that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, from the initial entering into our bodies as we accept Christ, to the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is a huge gift of love. God's love never ends. The Holy Spirit has been present from the very beginning. It's interesting when I was preparing for this and it hit me. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That's the same Holy Spirit that we're talking about. From the very beginning, he's been a part of this creation. To the very, every single day, he's been part of our lives as Christians. The Holy Spirit becomes a part of our lives when we accept Jesus Christ and salvation. Since Pentecost, the love gifts of power have been available to all believers. So the Holy Spirit was around, and we read in the Old Testament regularly that the Spirit of God came upon someone and they did something great. Joseph, Gideon, Moses. Name a story that we tell every single day in church about an Old Testament hero or prophet or anyone that's huge in the Old Testament. David, King David, even King Saul was touched by the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit was given in portion, not in whole. The chapters the pastor's been talking about in Corinthians are important as the love gift of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of love. Without love, we are nothing. 1 Corinthians 13:13. So what now? Faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. All comes out of love. One of the things I love about our relationship with God and our Lord Jesus Christ is we're made perfect through his love. Not our perfection, but his. Humans are born under the curse of sin, and we have no righteousness of our own. But it's a love that God bestows upon us when we accept his love and we grow in him that we become more like him. Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifest apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there's no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. There's only one way. There's only one way to feel and experience the full love of God, and that's through his son, Jesus Christ. The beauty of this relationship is that God loves us where we are and when we accept Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter whether you are the darkest sinner or you're the most pious Pharisee. When you bow your heart before Jesus and accept him as your Savior, yes, you are his. Amen. Okay? It doesn't matter where you come from. At that point in time, it only matters where you're going. We don't do this alone. We've never had responsibility to get somewhere before this journey starts. We're only responsible for following him through the rest of the journey. When we accept Jesus Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit as a comforter, and what the Holy Spirit of God is for us, is to help us move through to righteousness, because it's not ours. It's him and his righteousness that we're seen by God. Fellowship with the Lord is the foundation of our relationship. Everyone that's in a relationship in this room knows that fellowship is key. Husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, daughters and parents, friends, co-workers, fellowship. We were not meant to be alone. We weren't meant to go through this journey alone. We weren't meant to be an island. That's the beautiful thing about what God wants us to come as we are, without pretense, without condition, without having to prep ourselves to be with him. Like the song says, just as I am, I come. There is no precondition. Everyone knows that when you go to college and you go through high school, you have to have prerequisites to get to the next level. The crossover to being one of his, there's no prerequisites except you accept him. There is no, I've got to know the Bible. I've got to know this. I got to know the rules. I got to follow the rules. I got to prove that I do this. I prove I do that. It's just, here I am, Lord. I'm yours. Many other religions and beliefs require that we do something to be made more godlike or more perfect. Our perfection is through our relationship with God, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. These things set Christianity apart from other religions and other belief systems. We are children of the living God, bought by the blood of his Son, filled with his Holy Spirit. There is nothing else in the world that even begins to come close. Although the world wants to tell you, you can do this and do that and have happiness here, happiness there, or you can have this, that, or the other thing. The bottom line is there's truly only one happiness that matters, and that's with the relationship with Jesus Christ. John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. 17, for God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. We hear regularly today in news and around us that we are weird people because we don't believe what they believe. We don't embrace what they embrace. They are looking for happiness. They're looking for that, to fill that hole that can only be filled by God and his Spirit. We were created in his image. It would be wrong if we thought about that we can fill that hole with something other than him. That is our weapon. That is our strength. That is our sword that we can bring to bear to the world that is naysaying about Jesus. I love the expression that someone said, let me introduce my best friend. His name is Jesus. Toby Mack sings a song, I can't remember if it was him or with DC Talk, was that, would I be a stranger if my best friend was born in a manger? If you don't know the song Jesus Freak, it's worth listening to. God himself sent his Son to earth. And this always amazes me when I think about this. Let's think you're in the world's best place in the universe. You're sitting next to the creator of all things. And the next thing you know, you're in downtown Wilmington or downtown Detroit or downtown, put the name of the town you live in, I don't care, downtown Landenburg. I mean, don't get me wrong, our homes are beautiful places. Where we live, we're attached to them. But to get up and willingly walk out of heaven, to willingly go through what he went through, to be born as a baby child, to be born in a manger. I mean, let's face it, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, a manger. I mean, let's face it, he was born in a stable. That couldn't have smelled good. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've got multiple grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and I understand what diapers are all about, but I can tell you what, they don't smell good. All right? But here's God, born in a manger, having to go through diapers, having to go through living with animals, to know that your first experience as you come to this world is a manger, a stinky manger. But that's the God that we serve. He's willing to lower himself to experience what we see every day. And no matter what you look like in this world, no matter how you live in the current 2023, and I have it too. Oh, honey, we can't afford that this week. You know, the budget's not good enough. But think about where we live and what we do. Think about the roofs we have over our head. Think about the cars that are out in the parking lot. Think about the ability to go and come as we please. I want to go out to dinner tonight. And what's the hardest choice? I've been a paramedic for 30 years. I can save your life without even thinking about it. I can move you toward wellness without even thinking about it. Can I choose where my next meal is? Uh-uh. And I'm the guy at work that as soon as we go to breakfast, what am I talking about? Lunch. You know, I am known as the foodie. People come to me, where's the food? And I've got to blame a real good friend of mine who travels the world regularly because he's my foodie. So I can go anywhere, you know. He tells stories about how people call him up from all over the world. Where can I eat in this city? We have it very well in this country. We truly don't suffer as some do. And don't get me wrong, I understand there's suffering in the world. I understand that each of us have days of suffering. I do too. You know, I lost both my parents. And I was thinking about that the other day. And losing my first parent and my dad was tough. But I had mom to take care of, so I had a distraction. When mom went home, it was like, wow, it's over. My parents are gone. Fortunately, so mom's in heaven right now, and I'll tell you right now, she's happy. Do you know why my mom's happy? No jeans. She'd be happier if I was wearing a jacket, but no jeans. And I've talked about that before in here. Jesus walked this earth. Think about it. God, incarnate, walking everywhere he went because he picked a time when there wasn't cars and there wasn't airplanes. There wasn't mass communication. He walked everywhere. Think about the mileage he got out of those sneakers. In love, and he's molding people. He's sharing. He's healing people. He's showing them the ultimate love. And what did a lot of people look at him and go, you can't be the king of the Jews. You're not beating Rome, because they have a preconception of what God was to do for them. He taught. He loved. Even the night he was betrayed, the night he knew was his last night before being crucified, at the Last Supper, what did he do? He washed the feet of his disciples. He lowered himself to wash the feet as a servant. We're all very familiar with the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection story, the Easter story. And it amazes me how much, when I think about it, that when he was praying at somebody, you know, I'm sure that even as Christ, it crossed his mind, hey, legions of angels, come on down. We're not doing this anymore. I changed my mind. But no. He endured death, even the death of a cross. And if you've done any research on this death, it is horrible. It is horrific. It is, you know, one of the worst. Even today, they talk about it as one of the worst ways to die. One of the things in this story of love that really, really still grabs me is that when Jesus died and he breathed his last, the barrier between man and God was broken. the curtain in the temple that separated the holy place to the holies of holies was torn in two. There was free access to God. For centuries before that, we had to go through ritual and we had to go through sacrifice. But the ultimate sacrifice was Jesus Christ. But the love story isn't over. I mean, think about what he did. But the love that continues, the love that followed almost immediately, you would think that the barrier between God and man being broken would be enough, but it wasn't. Jesus himself said that if I don't go, you will not receive a comforter. He also said you'll do greater things than he did. Think about the power of the Holy Spirit. When God, incarnate on this earth, said, I'm sending a friend. I'm sending my spirit. And you will do greater things than I did. I mean, feed 5,000. Feed 4,000. Raise Lazarus from the dead. Okay? 4 days in the grave. There was no doubt that he was dead. Okay? It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like me when I coded, I had a chance to come back. Lazarus was probably pretty ripe by the time the 4 days showed up. John 16:7 tells us, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. Think about that. Jesus on earth was one man doing miraculous work. The Holy Spirit is now available to us as Christians so that each of us can do miraculous works. We can touch more people. We can touch more lives. We can have more godly power because of the Holy Spirit. More love, more ability to serve his kingdom. We've been blessed with the Holy Spirit. We've been blessed with gifts of the Holy Spirit. The word is clear. 1 Corinthians 12:4-11. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and the varieties of service, but the same Lord, and the varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them to everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For one is given the spirit of utterance and wisdom, the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, the work of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each individual as he wills. This is love by God. This is love by God, loved us first, saved us from our sins, allowing us to be in a relationship with him, an intimate relationship with him. To be able to call on him as our Father and have an intercessor in Jesus Christ and to have the Holy Spirit with us. This, if you look in Acts and you look through the New Testament, this is how the gospel spread, because people were empowered at the day of Pentecost. They received power from on high to do miraculous things, to heal people, to show the unbelievers that their God and Jesus was real, to move cities, to move peoples to a place of relationship with Jesus. So I need to talk a little bit more about myself, and forgive me. Okay. These gifts of the Holy Spirit I've seen in my life since I was two. I don't remember that when I was two, but this all started with my mom. I look around the room and I think a lot of you have met my mom and know my mom or know of my mom. Her faith started when someone knocked on her door and asked her and told her about Jesus and then invited her to church. It was a Pentecostal church. These things led to her being baptized in the Holy Spirit and started a godly walk with the Lord. Those of you who knew my mother know that she served the Lord all the days of her life. She fully embraced the gifts of the Spirit, where she showed wisdom, discernment, healing, and was the biggest part of my testimony and the biggest part of my testimony, not the testimony you're going to hear next week. I don't know if all of you are aware or not, but I was born with CP, cerebral palsy. So when I talk about being brain damaged, it's real. But God has blessed me with the ability to do anything in the world I wanted to. Failure in my life only came when failure showed itself. My friends would not let me do things or not do things I thought I couldn't. But that said, as a 9-year-old having a heel cord lengthened in Philadelphia, I had to walk with a brace for my leg. Remember, I don't know if you remember the movie with Tom Hanks in it, Forrest Gump, where he had braces on his legs, and he ran that one day and they all fell off. Here's my brace falling off story. 9 years old. Devastated because of having to wear this brace. Because my right leg was shorter than my left by half an inch. My mom, one night, laid her hands on me and prayed. I don't know if she prayed in the spirit. I don't know if she prayed in tongues. All I know is she prayed. And she told me I didn't have to wear the brace to bed, which I was supposed to wear. I woke up this morning, the next morning, still discouraged, still a very upset 9-year-old. Because how many people know how upset 9-year-olds can get? Okay, I was there, okay? I was all the way up here. I was, you know, the world had come to an end because of this brace. I put it on, and I limped the other way. I was touched by God that night. To the point where they took me back to the hospital. They watched me walk. They watched me do a bunch of things. And in my medical records, it's listed, unexplained miracle of God. My right leg grew a quarter inch overnight. Now, the interesting part of that testimony is that my right leg is still shorter than my left. And I do wear a lift. And I have to wear a limp. And I still limp. God chose for me, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power and gift of healing, to heal me to where he wanted me. Amen. I can take all I want to, I do. Okay? But I know that God has used me the way that I am through his Holy Spirit to do things for him in his time and in his word, just like standing here in front of you, which I never thought I'd ever do. Okay? And I know for a fact, it's funny, I talk to people about this gift of healing and the gift of the Holy Spirit that my mom exercised was functioning in that day. Is when I get to heaven, it's not going to be, God, why didn't you heal me? My question to God's going to be, what did you save me from by not completing that healing? Because he knew and he knows where each and every one of us is going. All he asks is that we go with him through the power of his Holy Spirit, through the love that he created in the sacrifice of his son, through what he's done for us. So it's funny, I talk about my mom with love and care and so on and so forth. So I tell people, what was your mom's like? I said, well, look up in the dictionary of the church lady. Remember the old Saturday Night Live church lady? Nothing like that one. But if you look in the Bible, in the dictionary, it's the church lady. My mom's picture's right there, by the way. That's her, if you can't see her in the picture. So we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. And that whole story is for later next week. But I can tell you that I sought this gift for 30 years. And I don't understand. I didn't understand throughout the time because I thought, well, is it me? And I went back to the whole thing we talked about earlier. Have I done something wrong? Have I not done something right? Have I not prayed hard enough? Is there a sin in my life I need to confess? And the answer to that question is no, and that's all you get as a preview for next week. Does not having the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues or exercising the gifts of the Holy Spirit make you any less of a Christian? Absolutely not. Hear me, no. That's a hang-up with some people. It was a hang-up with me. Am I less of a Christian? Am I not doing what God wants me to do? There's something wrong with me. No. Midge tells the story of Carl, who was her first husband, who died of brain cancer. For years, sought the baptism of the Holy Spirit. years, probably longer than me. And it wasn't until he was sick, which is a shame, that he was baptized. I don't know. I know in my life what happened. And again, I'm not giving you the spoiler. You have to come back next week for that. So in closing, what do we take away from here? Love comes first from God, because God is love. John 16:7. Talking about the Holy Spirit coming back. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's your advantage that I go away. Because think about the church and the history after Pentecost. God wanted and Jesus was a miraculous guy. He was God. No wonder he's miraculous. But he did miraculous things. Talked to thousands of people. Thousands of people became part of the way through him. But how many more people came part of the way after he ascended to heaven? Because he empowered his disciples. His disciples took the gospel. And you can follow that lineage all the way down to every one of you sitting in this room that know Jesus as your Savior. That empowerment, that charge, the Great Commission is given to each and every one of us that knows the Lord. We are to act as they did. We're to share the gospel as they did. And I can tell you, there are days it's tough. So the day of Pentecost is the day we celebrate today. The Holy Spirit was not just given to an individual at a time like he was in the Old Testament, but is given to the body of Christ, the church of Jesus, to us. These are great gifts of love. God loved us from the beginning. God loved us when he sent his son to die for our sins as the ultimate sacrifice. We no longer slaughter animals. The price has been paid in full. The love that took is immeasurable in my mind. I can't even imagine that. Now, each and one of us know that, you know, would we surrender our life for our child? Yes. Our spouse? Yes. Our friends? Probably. For the stranger in the street we never met? Probably not. Okay? Jesus did it for everybody. Born, unborn, to be born. But that gift of love didn't end with that act of sacrifice. He sent his Spirit to be part of us, to comfort us, to be in us. That's part of salvation. And that was great. And that is absolutely, possibly a wonderful thing. But there's more. There's more love to come. There's more love available to us as Christians. And those are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So that we can speak boldly. So that we can prophesy. So that we can witness to people. So that when we don't know what to pray for and how to pray, Holy Spirit will do it for us. Because who knows you better than yourself? God. What part of God recognizably lives inside of you is the Holy Spirit. He knows everything. He knows what you need. God knows what timing is. Think about how you got here into this room one day. Think how you got to get to know Jesus Christ. Think of the things that had to be put into place, the timing, the people, the attitude in your heart and your mind, the willingness of someone to witness to you, the willingness of you to listen is all about timing. And God's timing is perfect. As we seek more of God and we seek more of the things of God, he made things available to us because he loves us. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are real, meaningful, and should have all of our hearts looking for more of Jesus. And this is probably going way too short, but this is it. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13:13. So now, faith, hope, and love abide in us, these three, but the greatest of these is love. As you process through this week, And I was joking because my friend's coming to the service this morning to hear the closing this year. And he went out and bought the book that Pastor was giving away. And if you have it and you haven't read it yet, read it, please. It was under that man's ministry that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's not because he's anything special. It's just when I read the book, when I bought it there, it was amazing how many of the things of the process that I just missed. And I've been a Christian for many years. I've read the Word. I've sought. I've tarried. I've done all the things that we talk about doing, waiting on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Each of us have our own story. Each our own event, how that happens to us. And if you haven't had that joy, God's waiting to give it to you. It may happen next week. It may happen this week as you read the book. It may not happen for years. Stay with it. God has this for you. God has this for us. You're no less loved. You're no less promised. You're no less capable. You're no less holy. You're no less anything to God. But God has these gifts for us. And it's an absolutely beautiful place to be, closer to Jesus. All I got. Heavenly Father, your word is your word, your promise is your promise, and your love is everything. You loved us from the beginning, you knew us from the beginning. Our days were numbered before we were born. You had our life planned before creation. You know the power that awaits us. You know the blessing that you gave us with salvation. The gifts of your Holy Spirit are real. They're for today. They're for us in a world that doesn't know who you are. Lord, this is a church that believes in your gifts. Lord, this is a church that wants to experience more of your gifts. But Lord, it doesn't matter what gifts come. The only thing that matters is that your love is here. Because love is the greatest. Lord, be with all of us. Holy Spirit, indwell in us deeper and greater than when we walked in this building. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to bring this word, your word. Lord, keep us and bless us. May your Holy Spirit be close. In Christ's precious name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Magnify your name, Jesus.